The moment has arrived. We are going to talk about the Tortured Poets Department, both parts of it, and lots more besides, with the one and only, the biggest, the leader of the Tay-Tay squad. It is Colin McGrath.
No, I'm a Swiftie, man.
Get you're right, a Swiftie, man. Sorry, yeah, a Swiftie.
You're giving me huge introductions, and I have a feeling I'm letting people down based on the introductions.
But that just shows the belief I have in you.
You introduced Tom from Keynes Garden Centre as the legend that is Tom. I'm not of that ilk. You know what I mean? I'm just an agent who sits on the couch a lot and watches all this kind of stuff. I tell you, I'll tell you why I know.
That's why I should be your agent. I do a much better job of selling you to be.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. But here, listen, right? I'm a 44-year-old man. I should know nothing
of
Taylor
Swift. 44.
Thank you very much. I should know nothing of Taylor Swift, but I do because I have a teenage daughter who is, when I say obsessed, I mean absolutely obsessed with Taylor Swift.
And they all are, aren't they? There's no Taylor Swift fan who's like,
there's no grey area.
Ambivalent about it. Yeah,
exactly. And she's part of the Swifties, which number in their billions, I suspect, at this particular point. And the funny thing is, like, Taylor Swift could release anything now and it would break records in terms of streaming and sales and whatever. It doesn't even have to be good anymore.
You know, remember as a kid, like, you had paper on a comb and used to be able to make a sound out of it.
Yeah,
if that was her new single, it
would
be number
one. She could bait two pots off each other, Alan, and people and young teenagers would buy it. But not only that, in the States as well, like, it's adults too, more so than here, and they're really spending a lot of money on Taylor Swift merch, albums. Like, this one was okay, so this was released in our time 5 a.m. last Friday morning, right?
Yep.
It's called the Tortured Poets Department, or as I call it to slag my daughter, Dead Poets Society. Dad, you're not funny is what
What's
I get
that?
In return. Exactly, yeah. So this continues to rack up massive numbers. So 5 a.m. in the morning it was available for streaming. First off, I got text message after text message from my daughter. I was here at the time, obviously, I'm up early, from her having listened to, you know, song by song in bed before school. Oh my God, this is a great track. Have you listened to this one? Oh my God, Dad, this is amazing. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it was just nonstop.
Daddy's at work, darling.
Yeah, leave me alone. But I'm replying going, oh, of course, sweetheart, I'll listen to it later. I actually did listen to it in the car on the way to work. And look, I mean, it's not a terrible album. I mean, she knows how to make music. She knows she's able to put lyrics together. She's got a good production
prolific,
behind her.
It's
unbelievable.
We're talking about, what, between the two albums, 31 songs?
Yeah. So
it's her 11th album?
It's amazing. At 5 a.m. she released the Tortured Poets Department. At 7 a.m. she released Tortured Poets Department, the anthology. So you're right, 31 tracks in total. I think because she's as popular as she is, she doesn't have to pick out the good ones anymore. She can just record away and release them all and let the public decide what's good.
Do you think is it quantity over quality, though?
Well, I haven't listened to all 31 tracks. What I've heard, I like. I haven't heard anything that's terribly awful that I'd turn off. I don't think she'd release stuff that was of lesser quality than what she's used to releasing. I think she does care about it a lot more than that. So I think there's a certain amount of quality there. The big thing to be taken from this release is the amount of diss tracks. For those of you who don't know, a diss track is when you use a song to have a go at somebody, basically. And over the history of time, there's been plenty of diss tracks released throughout the years. In this one, she's had a go at her ex-boyfriend who she was with for 6 years, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, Joe Alwyn. Joe Alwyn, yeah.
She was with him for 6 years. She's had a go at him. I don't know their personal lives and I don't know them well, but if you're to believe what was reported, she dumped him. But she's still having a go at him.
And the title of the album, and we'll mention Matty Healy in a moment, there's speculation that apparently Joe Alwyn is in a WhatsApp group with Paul Mescal.
Yes.
Another actor called the Tortured Men's Club or something like that.
Exactly. And it's a sort of a throw to that. So the Matty Healy thing is, then she went out with him for 3.5 minutes or something like that. And now it was a strange one in the first place. It was a strange getting together of people because he's a very unusual character. He was the one that
one
went
word
on,
for him.
he's the lead singer of the 1975. He went on television and he was asked a question about, before a concert, sometimes bands do meet and greets and they charge you for it. And like, you can pay £1,000 and meet maybe not Coldplay, but, you know, before big gigs. It happens in Ireland as well. He was saying that that should be changed and that the artist doing the meet and greet should be handed the money in cash. We should be given that money. It's for us. Why should we give record companies? Why should we give promoters that money? If someone wants to see us and they want to give me £500, I'll take £500, but I want it in my pocket in cash. So this is the kind of fella he is. He He does.
I kind of weirdly, even though I don't really like him, I find myself agreeing with him on that, because why would the record company getting the money?
Yeah.
If you're, you know.
But he wants it in cash in his pockets. He wants to put it straight into the back pocket.
Right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm trying to think what the proper PC term for this time of the day is. But like in concerts, I've seen videos of him in concert running down to the front row and shifting the face off young ones. Like, in the, yeah, is that the proper term to use at this time of the day? Pashing, kissing, snogging, whatever. But, I mean, he's an out there character and he does strange things. Anyway, she had a go at him in one of her songs. The one I thought was, I suppose, cleverest, and the one that came totally from left field, was the diss of Kim Kardashian, who, and like, the very brief background on this is, Kanye interrupted Taylor's acceptance speech for an award a few years ago. In an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Kim backed him and said he was right. So there's this beef going on between the two now. So there's a song on the album called Thank You, Amy. But what she's done is, it's all lowercase letters, except for the K and thank, and then the U, the I and the M. So it says Kim.
Very subtle.
Yeah, well, as subtle as a brick through a window, maybe. But there's loads of other things. And I think people are finding meaning in lyrics that aren't even there, to be honest with you. I think people are just trying to investigate too much. Anyway, let me just tell you about the numbers, Alan, right? So the numbers, it was released on Friday morning, 5 a.m. our time. It was midnight US time. So the album sold... Now, this is sales, not streams. So, you know, there's a difference between the two. Well, it's physical and digital, because some of the streaming charge you to download it to your device, right? So, on all configurations then, 1.5 million copies. She's single-handedly, I've said this in the program before, she's single-handedly resurrected vinyl sales in the States. She's broken vinyl sales records since Friday. People are now going in, buying physical music again. And she's resurrected. The likes of Golden Discs are all back opening and flourishing again.
Don't say that to smaller bands who will say that they can't get their albums printed in vinyl plants because they're all mass-producing Taylor's
Swift. Yeah, well, they're all going where the money is anyway. Like, I've got a record player at home. I hadn't had one in years. We have vinyls in the house that I haven't had in years. And it started with my daughter buying some Taylor Swift vinyl. I jumped in the bandwagon and bought a couple of the ones I like as well. You know, there's something about that physical record, to have it in your hand.
It is lovely. Yeah.
It's way better than a stream. In terms of streaming, massive amounts of streams as well. And sorry, just one other thing on the Kim Kardashian thing. All of Taylor Swift's fans are now going on Kim Kardashian's Instagram and just writing, "Thank you, Amy," in the post with the K and the I and the M. Just, you know, and she's lost 500,000 Instagram followers since the album was released on Friday.
I have to say that the Swifties on social media... It's a bit of an unpleasant
thing to them.
Yeah, if
you want to get noticed on Instagram or X or any of those, say something bad about Taylor Swift.
Oh, you're in a world of hurt.
You'll be noticed right away.
Straight away.
Onto a singer that I like a lot more than I like. I mean, I don't dislike Taylor Swift, but this guy I think is great. And he's one of our own. He's from Wicklow. Andrew Hosier-Byrne, who's doing Untold. Now, he released an album. A song that wasn't going to be on it is a song called Too Sweet. This is the one where he goes, "I take my whiskey neat." Mm. So this then became a meme online. People started using 10 seconds of it on TikTok videos, and he went, "Hey, there's something to this." And he released the song, and now he has become only the fourth Irish musical act to hit number one in the US Billboard Hot 100, and he's currently sitting pretty at the top there.
Imagine that, a song that wasn't going to be on the album. He's following Sinead O'Connor, U2, no one would ever get the third one. Gilbert O'Sullivan.
With what song?
Alone Again, Naturally.
Excellent, very good. I was going to ask you that. I'm delighted. I'm delighted you knew. I knew you'd know. U2 were there twice, with or without you, and still have phone looking for Sinead O'Connor, but Nothing Compares to You. I didn't think. I assumed we'd have had way more number ones in America.
Than
we did, but no, it's only four. Well, it's five, but four different acts. He's also number one for the second week in a row in Ireland and in the UK, number one in Australia, Canada and New Zealand as well. There's a clip of him here talking about the song and talking about what it means to him that it's become so successful.
Hey, it's Hosier here. I just want to say a huge, huge thank you to all the supporters, all the fans around the world. We've been number one in Australia, number one in New Zealand, number one in Canada, we've been number one in the US, and a second week at number one in Ireland and the UK. It's absolutely staggering. I'm taken massively by surprise by it, but I just want to say thank you so, so much for your support. I'm so thrilled that you're enjoying Too Sweet, and it means the world to me. So thank you. Everybody in the US, everybody in Canada, everybody in Australia, New Zealand, in Ireland and the UK, thank you so much.
Just comes across as a really lovely nice fella from Wicklow. Yeah, and well, fair play to him. I always thought Take Me to Church had been at number one. It hasn't. So not only has he never had an American number one before, he didn't have an Irish one up to this week, or last week.
He's made up for it now anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Finally, Alan, this week, the IFTAs. It's gaslight. We go through award season and we talk about the Oscars, the Grammys, the Emmys, the Golden Globes, the Raspberries even, and then we come to the IFTAs.
The way you said that.
And listen, I mean, it's our version of the Oscars, and I'm not going to diss. I'm not going to release a song like Taylor doesn't give out about it. But what they have at the IFTAs is it's a very. I suppose we're too used to looking at the razzmatazz of Hollywood, and we're judging our awards effort based on that.
And it is it's a much bigger country with the. Hollywood, it's had all the history of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it was held at the weekend at the Dublin Royal Convention Centre, was hosted for the first time by Baz Ashmawe. He himself, of course, is an Emmy-winning broadcaster. He won it for that TV show he did on Sky with his mammy. I didn't see the opening monologue. You did. Maybe you can comment on it. I saw him presenting different awards. It just seemed very dead, dull affair compared to the likes of the Oscars.
It was, but it's always going to struggle to compete with the glitz and glamour of the Oscars, isn't it? There was an impressive roll call of people who were there.
Yeah.
Cillian Murphy was there, obviously. Lily Gladstone from...
She presented the Best Actor Award to Cillian, yeah.
In terms of grandeur, it's never going to compete with the Oscars or the BAFTAs even.
Yeah, exactly. The BAFTAs was huge this year. So let me briefly and very quickly go through some of the winners, bearing in mind that in some categories... We have an Irish winner and an international winner. Yeah. So Best Director was Lisa Mulcahy for Lies We Tell and Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer. Actor was Cillian Murphy. And then the international actor was Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers. Supporting actor was Paul Mescal for All of Us Strangers. And the supporting actress was Alison Oliver in Saltburn. Actress was Agnes O'Casey for The Lies We Tell. And international actress was Emma Stone for Poor Things. Then we had the lead actress Claire Dunn, who won the lead actress in a drama series on TV. Her supporting actress Maria Doyle Kennedy won the award as well, and we have some audio from Claire accepting the award for her role in Kin, which also won the Best Drama Series, Best Direction and Best Script in a Drama Series.
So different to get it live and in person and in the room, and also when you genuinely like, I really didn't think I was going to win this year because the competition was fantastic. Like, it was really, really, I am thrilled. I can't tell you how thrilled I am. I'm so happy. Every time Kin is mentioned, like, we're all rooting for each other, so it's just a lovely feeling to be there.
So fair play to Claire Dunn there, who won for Kin with Claire Connection as well. Colm, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
We'll let you get back to listening to the Tortured Poets Department.
Tortured Presenters.
Tortured Presenters Department. Thanks very much. Colm McGrath bringing us the latest pop culture news on Morning Focus.